There we go. If you do have a cell phone, which you probably do because it is like the 21st century, right? this is obviously one of the places where it's best really not to use it. I know everybody's texts are the most important texts there are. We all like to be connected all the time with the social media out there. But actually having a time in our lives where we can just let go of that and really connect to something that's really occurring is a much deeper practice. So, when the Buddha was on the verge of his spiritual journey, there is a famous incident that's reported where he lived in a state of luxury in a very large castle in Kapalivatu. And Siddhartha was apparently kept away from the distressing events of life, the old age, sickness, and death. Much like we are. We live in a culture where the elderly are shunted away, the sick are immediately dropped into hospitals, the dead are whisked away and then manicured to look like they're alive. So there's a sense of like, you know, we don't like to be exposed to the dilemmas, the challenges, the tragedies, the real deep human setbacks. But as the Buddha said in the First Noble Truth, there's no way we can hide from these things. These are inevitable experiences in life. We will all know old age, sickness, and death. We will all experience loss, separation, grief, and but these the big three of old age, sickness, and death, when the Buddha first experienced it, when he was traveling around in the city just outside the castle where he was raised, these encounters with the elderly, the sick, and the corpse were referred to as the divine messengers. In other words, these encounters led to a profound change in the way that the Buddha looked at his own life, experienced what life is, and they were the catalysts that basically caused the Buddha to give up his incredibly lavish and fortunate upbringing and then go off into the world as a renunciate, someone who had foregone all of his money and his property and his privilege and his titles, and basically had decided as a wandering spiritual seeker, begging for what little food he had, to find a different kind of happiness, because the happiness he saw that was dependent on external things, he immediately understood when he came across old age, sickness, and death. He understood that these inevitable events wipe out so much of the false agendas and the goals and the expectations that we have. Let's look at that. We all like to think that we have 80 years guaranteed us, that we can trade in our happiness for working really hard when we're young, and there'll come a payoff, a time when we'll be able to have more time to really get to know ourselves and get behind that sort of social mask that we've worn to be successful in the world. And that there's a point for all this putting off, of not taking care of ourselves, of not stopping and relaxing and truly embracing life. That there's a point to just continually pounding away at careers that induce stress, that there's a you know, some kind of payoff. And of course, there is no guarantee. Some of us do get to live long lives, and occasionally people do have a period at the end where they are very lucky and they're still healthy, and they use the time to find a spiritual path. But very often what happens is all the stress and all the sacrifice and all the putting aside of developing ease within and developing a spiritual practice takes such a toll over the course of life that by the time there is any opening, we've got so much momentum of armoring and defensiveness and a mind that's so busy from so many years of drama and chasing external happiness that we can't ever develop that true inner peace that we've sort of put off. In the Buddha's view, when we're completely in a mode of just pure sacrifice, of sacrificing our happiness now in the hopes that there'll be some time in the future where we can start a spiritual practice, or where we can start a daily practice, or where we can start taking care of ourselves. He called that pamada, which is a state of delusion. The delusion being that that there always will be. We have some guarantee that we have a right to expect that, you know, that there's no cost for not taking advantage right here and right now of the minds and the bodies we have to develop as much inner ease and as much peace and acceptance with ourselves as we can. It's important that the messengers, the divine messengers, were old age, sickness, and death, because to shock us out of this habitually ingrained beliefs that we have that, you know, if we get enough accumulation of friends and enough, you know, money and a nice enough place and a nice enough, relationship, that all these external projects will lead to happiness, right? I mean, this is what the world points us to. This is what's on TV every night. This is, you know, what everything is pointing towards externally, and the dominant culture. So to shock us and say, wait a second, our spiritual lives are turning inwards, are developing every day right here, right now, a state of ease within, an acceptance of how we feel, an opening to not just the parts of ourselves that we like, but to all of our experience, an investigation into who we really are beneath these social shells. These are really important projects. They're not indulgences. The spiritual life is not, something that is like an indulgent thing that comes about after we've done everything else. In fact, for me, in my perspective, it's the foundation which allows me to be effective in friendships and relationships and work and juggling all the responsibilities that a person has, from showing up to appointments to exercising to all the things we do, all our hectic schedules and the busyness that we rush around in life, to have a foundation that allows us not to get caught up in the drama of accomplishment and the setbacks. We need to have a place within that gives us a firm foundation of ease. And to develop that place within requires a shock to the system. Because the temptation, again, is to develop it just in our careers, our relationships, everything external. We want the job by the nature of this country, this society we live in, we want it all to be an external job. You know? And it's not. It's not. It's often a very lonely turning towards the deeply felt feelings and emotions that we don't open to feel them, to give them a safe place to arise and pass. And when we do that, the more we open to what's really going on in our inner landscape, then we can live a truly whole life. We're not just racing around trying to fill in the dots externally. We're also in touch with something deeper and much more true and much more meaningful. But to do that really requires sometimes to lose somebody really close, or to have a relationship that we really thought was going to be the one fall apart, or to have a job that we were really depending on blow up in our faces, to have these huge, disappointing setbacks don't have to be needless cruelty in our life. We can actually transform them into divine messengers if, when we experience this loss, this setback, this great disappointment, it forces us to take a step back and ask, shit, you know, what the fuck have my priorities been? Where am I looking for my lasting happiness? Why am I getting bent out of shape about something somebody wrote on Facebook, or the way other people think about me at my job, or how much, I've got to get done this week? Why am I acting as if these are the things that are going to bring me lasting happiness? It's interesting. Because I teach at a group that does hospice work for people that are end of life, and I'm one of the teachers that train hospice, and I've done a lot of hospice work, and I guarantee you, in end of life settings, people don't say, "Ooh, I wish I got that promotion." Never happens. Never happens. "Ooh, I wish I had." I had gotten more accomplished in my job. Never will happen. What people do often talk about is the wish that they were better at loving the people that were important, that they were more honest with the way they felt, that they were more attuned to old feelings that they had spent so much time running away from, that they had taken time throughout the course of their life to explore authentic desires of being creative, that they didn't basically trade so many of the viable years and times that they had for simply towards, only the endeavors that got them paid or got them recognized in their careers, that they had explored more. So, this is why old age, sickness, death, loss, separation, grief, not getting what we want, getting what we don't want, these are why these experiences are the divine messengers. Because each and every time we walk into a wall in life, it's not a setback, it's an opportunity. It's an opportunity to say, wait a second, why am I expecting my happiness to come from all this stuff, when that's dependent upon things beyond my control, and when I know for a fact 5 years from now I won't give a shit about this? And why am I not deeply connecting with the things that are more lastingly important in my life? Accepting myself. Opening to the parts of myself that I run away from and feeling deeply what needs acceptance. Why aren't I reaching out and connecting honestly with others about how I deeply feel rather than putting on a show? Anyway, I hope that was something worth exploring. So I'm going to turn off the tape here.